Coming up on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, the Cougs have hit the halfway point of the regular season at 6-0 and atop the Big 12 standings. Next up, it's a short week showdown with Oklahoma State under the Friday night lights at LaVille Edwards Stadium. And we're talking about it with Kalani and running back Hinkley Ropati next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
All right. Hello, hello, hello. Well, that is a rousing welcome. Hello and good evening once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building here in BYU's Provo, Utah. It's our Week 7 edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Happy to have you along tonight, whether live or on demand via the BYU TV or the BYU radio apps and ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's show, we will, among other things, recap a sunny Saturday at LaVille Edwards Stadium as BYU picked up a big win over the Arizona Wildcats to stay undefeated on the season. Linebacker Isaiah Glasker will be our guest inside the film room. We'll preview Friday night's game with Oklahoma State in town. Deep Blue will profile BYU offensive lineman Jake Eichhorn. Running back Hinkley Ropati will be our in-studio guest. Plus, we'll have our mini game show segment. Some Q&A with the coach and Hinkley and our weekly BYU football trivia question as well. Plus, we'll take a look at the uniform for Saturday. Last week at this time, we were celebrating his impending birthday. Then his team gave him the best kind of gift on the weekend. Let's bring him on out to get tonight's show underway. Here is the head coach of your BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake. Another hand for Hazel Hamuli, yeah. By the way, our little girl. Well, greetings to you, my friend.
Good to be here. Season's changing. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I can't wait for game 7.
It is still sunny today and warm, unseasonably warm, they would say. It's going to be seasonably cool on Friday night, it sounds like.
I can do seasonably cool. It was kind of hot and sunny on Saturday, so it's okay. I can deal with a little bit of chill in the air.
It was tuned up on Saturday. That was a great game day energy for a 2 o'clock kick. Sold out LaVille Edwards Stadium. It was a beautiful day and a special day for you guys.
Yeah, it was impressive. The fans are awesome, and we brag about them all the time because they are the best. And you can see how it had an effect in the game and the energy and how the players just want to respond and want to get that place rocking. And when they make plays, it gets really loud. It's a lot of fun.
There was a lot going on Saturday. It began kind of the night before, and people were camping out for the big noon kickoff. Fox people were in town, and that got the party started early. And I know that everybody who was in town from that production just couldn't say enough about BYU, the way that they were accepted and welcomed, and then, of course, the fans and the venue and the state. They left with a really positive impression.
Yeah, and that's we knew that would happen, and we brag about our fans all the time, but I just don't know until you get there. And I think, looking at the stories and the things that people have to say and visiting, they enjoy the game, whether it worked in their favor or not. I think they have a lot of respect for our fans. And I'm just really thankful that our fans treat people and are kind to those that are cheering against us. But it's okay. They look at it, the whole experience. We do things a little differently, and I actually like it better that way.
I want to get to something that's come a little more obvious in the last couple of years, the rock, the effect of the student section at LaVille Edwards Stadium. A lot of things have happened on that side of the field over the last few seasons where the students are the loudest. It's a real thing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, but I don't want to take anything away from the north end zone or the rest.
They got a pick six on Saturday, too.
I know.
So.
Jeez, Greg, stop showing favoritism to the young people. No, we love The Rock, but we love the entire. I mean, the fact that you can see royal blue all over the place, it's awesome. And I think that in that corner, we just kind of like the noise. And then the sun was out, so we wanted to play with the sun in our favor from the beginning. Didn't want it to be in the eyes of our punt returner because didn't want to give Parker any excuses for, returning a muff punt again. But it was just a really cool environment. But to have the energy flowing through all the fans, it's usually sparked by the Rock getting it going, and Really excited that everybody can just get make noise and make it fun for us.
You've won six of your last seven games after bye weeks. Do you think you've settled into a routine you like? I know some things were done differently this year than other years, but how would you say that turned out getting the result?
I actually like this year's schedule a lot better, just knowing that when we looked at putting it together with our sports scientists, it was more about we worked on it from the beginning, from January all the way through, and we reviewed it again back in June about how we want to get these guys going, and we had to look at the current status of our fitness level and then what we want to get done between now and talk about the summertime and to that first bye. And I think it's when you use science, it works, you know. So it'd be foolish for us not to use all the information that we have afforded to us. And then, you know, it's just so far the guys are looking good. I mean, they're working nicely. They're big and they're strong, and we just got to keep it going. And it's nice that we have the resources that are available to us, and we can use it. I mean, that's. I mean, I'm not trying to do anything special for my own special individual needs, but maybe I have to do that too. But right now, I love that the team is benefiting from having that resource of science being involved in their fitness.
So you're good after open weeks. You're also good on short weeks, which you've got this week. Since you've been the head coach, you've played 11 games where you play a Friday after a Saturday, a short week, if you will, and you're 9-2 in those 11 games. And maybe there's something there too. Do you like how you guys get into your work week when you played on Saturday and you get to one less day of practice, so to speak?
Yeah, I think a lot of credit has to go to our players and how they go about the game and the preparation. I mean, I'd love to take all the credit myself, but the truth is we have young men that understand what needs to be done and the sense of urgency when you have a shortened week. And when we make adjustments, it doesn't just, I mean, even though it changes their schedule a little bit, they understand the reason behind it. And then we may have shorter practice this week because, you know, the game's on Friday. So it's why it's more important that we take advantage of the reps that we have in practice. And then, so these guys come with a different mindset every time we have a short week. And I think it's going really nicely right now. I mean, yesterday was a great practice. We had a great practice today. So have another one tomorrow, and we'll be right around the corner from the game.
Before we look into the Arizona game from this past weekend, I want to bring up a note, too. It hasn't been entirely smooth sailing for this team this year. You've gotten to 6-0, but you've done so with dealing with some injury adversity. And, I mean, you're rotating on the offensive line, it seems, every week. The running backs have been kind of in and out. So you've had some things to deal with, yet the performances has to really please you because it's kind of been you look like you would have if the starters were still there.
Yeah, the unfortunate part of the game is that injuries do happen. It's a violent sport. And even in training, you can have injuries. So the setbacks, it means you need to have more depth on your team. Last year, our depth was tested a little bit, and we didn't respond the right way. So we had to put some time into the deficiencies and try to make them strengths. And as we worked that during the offseason, I think you can see the proof in the work with our coaches and our players. And so it's worked out nicely. I talk about us being deep, but I don't want to keep testing it. You know, I'm okay with the starters playing and staying healthy, but we know that there's capable players that are backups that are doing a great job too, and they're ready when their number's called if that needs to happen.
It was great to see LJ Martin back and tonight's guest Tinkley Ropati, among others, for sure. Well, it was a glorious Saturday afternoon in Provo. Sold out stands, the Rock was filled up early, and BYU was coming in well rested and ready to roll. And Kalani was looking to go 4-0 all time against Arizona. Let's take a look back on Saturday's win over the Wildcats with highlights, which are actually this week's momentum moment, and some player performances brought to you by Waystar. We're going to go to a momentum moment in this game, and it came in a 7-7 ball game when Tanner Wall makes this play, a pickoff at the 1 foot line, basically. And yeah, if he's in the end zone, it'll be a touchback, but instead he's at the 1 foot line. So great defensive play, ends a scoring threat, and then the offense takes the ball and goes 99¾ yards, basically, and scores a touchdown to take a lead, and you never gave that lead up. This was a huge moment.
Great play by Tanner. I mean, just had the right eyes. We had pressure with Bill Boha there getting to the quarterback, and then they work on this every day, and I see Tanner making those type of plays, so it was nice that we were able to do it there, and it didn't hurt that we went 99½ yards for the score, but you know, we'd like the shorter fields better, but that was a really good response from the offense.
Let's take a look at some individuals who stood out on Saturday. Isaiah Glasker filled the box score in this one, did everything you could possibly do in a game, and he'll be the first guy we take a look at. He, by the way, was a national award winner today. More on that in a moment, but it was PBUs, it was tackles, it was the pick six, of course, we'll see in a bit. He was all over the place.
Well, it's just such a mismatch because he's 6'5 and 235 pounds, and he played receiver and DB and safety in high school. So we knew we could project him to do something special. He's developed into a great player and understands the linebacker game. And you know, he has a great instincts in the game, and especially in the line of scrimmage. And so I think Coach Hill and Coach Anna are doing a great job utilizing his skills and his strengths. And we see him being a big playmaker for us from here on out.
To a couple of offensive players and a guy that also stars on special teams for you in Parker Kingston. Second time in his career that he's both thrown for a touchdown pass and caught a touchdown pass in the same game.
Yeah, I mean, we like making fun of Parker because he's just like such a great, has such a great personality. And so the players are giving him a hard time for that pass that he kind of messed up the pass in the Baylor game. So they gave him a hard time about it. And, you know, this was dropped a dime on it. I think he could have been a little bit further, but, you know, he didn't have his hand on the laces. So maybe there's still room for an improvement. But what a great connection. And I love that A-Rod dials these plays up. And we've done, I mean, it's always he's always dangerous when he's out there. And that's, he can run the ball, he can catch the ball, and obviously he can throw the ball, you know, after we make fun of him.
By the way, his third career touchdown on the weekend, because of course he has the punt return touchdown earlier. Darius Lassiter is our third offensive player we're going to take a look at tonight. Darius has a real knack. You throw it, and we might see this too, but you throw it to him on the sideline, and he has a real knack of making sure he hauls those in.
Yeah, I mean, he understands how to get open, and you know, he's a big weapon for us. I think he really complements what Chase does on the other side, and so good to have weapons. I think we have a lot of guys that are capable and can catch the ball, but he's a good target for Jake, feels comfortable with him, and he's just really good at catching the ball with his hands. And so it's obviously he's known for his celebrations, and I like this one. This one is just stand up and, you know, that was
do a, nothing.
A good, humble Darius Lassiter right there. I don't mind it at all.
Well, we saw a moment ago what kind of impact Isaiah Glasker had on Saturday's win. For his efforts, he was today honored with the Bednarik Award, given to the National Defensive Player of the Week. And for more on how he won that award, let's hear from Isaiah inside the film room with our Jerem Jordan.
All right, Isaiah. 5 tackles, 2 TFLs, a sack, an INT, a pass breakup, and 2 quarterback hurries. What were you most proud of Saturday?
Honestly, I would probably say the pick. I feel like my dream is always to get an interception throughout the season, and I finally got the chance to get one, so probably an interception.
We'll get to that play, but let's start with the first play on defense of the game. You get a quarterback hurry on Noah Fifita in the end zone.
I feel like for myself, I was thinking like more run on this play just because they're on the 5-yard line, but getting the chance to get a little pass action. I get to use some of the tools I got in my toolbox and got to the quarterback, so.
For a second there, did you think safety? Like, he gets the ball out quick.
As soon as I get past the lineman, I was thinking safety. He got the ball out pretty quick, so.
Okay, later. Second half starts, and all of a sudden it feels like it's the Kansas State game again. Oh my gosh, you guys get multiple takeaways. Jacob Robinson with one, and then, of course, you with the sack fumble and Harrison Taggart's right there to pick it up.
Honestly, I showed I wasn't going to come on that play, and I don't think the line, like, identified me. So then as soon as the ball snapped, I came free, and I got the opportunity to get a good hit on him. But shout out number 11 for picking that ball up right after me. I couldn't even tell that the ball was a fumble.
I was going to ask you that. You turn and get excited to the rock right away. When did you realize, Harrison picked that up?
See, as soon as I seen the ref run over, I knew that we got the ball somehow. But we got to the sideline, and I was asking. I was like, dang, we actually got the ball.
Yeah. You're like, I got a sack. Second down. Let's go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're on the sideline, so I was like, dang, okay. Yeah, it's funny.
That's really funny. Okay, then at the end of the game, it's 4th and 10 from the 1, and the team's going for it. You don't see this very often.
Yeah.
You know they're going to throw it. You get back in coverage, and it's not just an interception, but like you talked about, it's a pick 6 to the house, exclamation point is Gus Johnson's.
Mm-hmm. I just want to watch the D-line right here, look at the pressure that they brought, especially number 13, Isaiah Banyard.
Did a great job, yeah. You guys get big in that moment?
Yeah, I got super big. It kind of took me back to like my high school days when I played receiver. I don't know, I seen the ball go up there and kind of high pointed it, so I don't know, especially just looking at the line. Like, I even look at, like, Batty and the Mangler, Mangelson. And you see Batty getting double teamed and stuff. Was able to get him to roll out to his left and kind of just, and then Zay did everything from there. So I give props to those guys for sure for helping me get that pick, especially him blocking down the field. We kind of go over this a lot in practice. So I don't know, that was huge.
Did you think about doing a Lavelle leap here into the stands? It looked like you were about to.
But
it's a penalty probably.
Yes, right? I was thinking 15 yards. Yeah, I don't know. I know about that one.
Is it worth the wrath of Kalani Sitake and Jay Hill is the question. But
you never know. Maybe he might not have gotten mad just because it was the end of the game, but can't really risk it.
It was awesome, man. Yeah. It was so good. Another big game this week, albeit in a cold one. Oklahoma State coming to town. You guys have played well with an edge of, like, people don't think we can do this or that. Now you're a favorite. Now you're in the top 15. What's the edge now? Is it last year's game?
I would say last year's game. They got us last year. We were up kind of quite a bit, and they just came back and got us. But I feel like this year, we've always had an edge this year, just wanting to get better every game. And just looking, it's just on to the next one at this point. So it's not really, we're not really bought into all the hype being ranked 13 and stuff like that. We just, I don't know, we're a team right now, and we just want to go out there and get a dub. So,
okay, good luck on the pursuit of 7-0 this Friday. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it.
He plays with a lot of enthusiasm, obviously, but he's a pretty serious dude. He's the kind of guy you want in your linebacking core there.
Yeah, great mind. I mean, he understands the game, and I'm glad that he makes good decisions, like don't jump into the crowd, things like that. But we love having him on the team, and I like the way our leaders are taking over. But he's a guy that's on the field that understands leadership and understands big time decisions, and I think it's helping us out. I mean, look at the maturity that he has. Look towards this game and not believe in all the hype.
Let's take a look at some of the key stats from the win over the Wildcats on Saturday, presented by Smarty. The game was pretty close, actually, in terms of total yardage for a game that BYU won by 22. But so many times, Kalani, it's going to come down to that margin. You were plus 3 in the turnover margin, 4 big takeaways. And one of the big stories of the season is you've scored 55 points off opponent giveaways or your takeaways, and opponents have only one field goal all year on their takeaways.
Yeah, I mean, just trying to find ways to keep working hard, and everybody doing their 1-11th on the field. We can get that done. I think we'll put ourselves in a position to always disrupt and cause some chaos, make some plays, and the big plays for defense, but also big plays on offense and special teams. All that stuff comes with the hard work, and you're only going to work hard if you stay humble and stay hungry, and that's kind of what we're trying to remind our players every week.
Coming up this Friday night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, it is BYU and Oklahoma State playing in Provo for the first time ever. They've only met 3 times all time, and only once in the regular season. That was last season in chilly, rainy Stillwater.
Yeah, it was a good first half and a good game altogether. I know it didn't work out in our favor, but we learned a lot of lessons in that game. And, you know, it's one of those that went to double overtime, and you have to give them a lot of credit. They went and played, I mean, they're the Big 12 conference runner-up, basically. They lost in the championship game. They got to play in that game, you know. So they're a great team with a lot of great coaches and a long-tenured head coach. And so we know they're going to be ready for this game. I say it every week. We'll get their best shot. We just got to make sure they get ours as well. And I think the way we're working, I think we're getting there. But we still need some practice, some work to do the next few days.
Some discussion about who the starting quarterback will be, we don't know for sure, and a couple of really good injured linebackers have certainly been a challenge for that defense. All right, as we break, this is your reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer and Jerem weekdays noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back to this show, Deep Blue will profile BYU offensive lineman Jake Eichhorn, and running back Hinkley Ropati will join us live in studio when BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Time now for our weekly Deep Blue Profile. Offensive lineman and Weber State transfer Jake Eichhorn has an unbreakable bond with his dad, David. When cancer threatened David's life, their small town community came together to lift them up, inspiring Jake to pursue football with resilience and gratitude. This is Deep Blue featuring Jake Eichhorn.
Home, Beaver, Utah.
Moving here was a huge gamble. Moving your whole family to somewhere small, coming from a big city, and the community here has really opened up and welcomed us tremendously.
I was 8 years old when my parents split. My dad was a single dad my pretty much entire childhood.
His dad just took such great care of him and just wanted to make sure that Jake was okay and that he had a place to go and that he was safe.
You know, he never complained. He sacrificed his dating life, baseball tournaments, football games, never missed a thing. And he is just the most dedicated father that I know. And he stepped up big time.
It's Friday night before Labor Day weekend, and I was getting ready to go to watch a game. And I got a call from the doctor.
So it was stage 3 colon cancer. They said if they don't operate as soon as possible, it could transition to stage 4 within the next weeks. I was in panic mode for a minute, yeah. I was like, what do you mean? Because I think when you hear that word, it just transitions you forward to, well, what happens in a year? What happens in 2 years? Like, what if I don't have my dad? So, I mean, I was gonna be alone. I felt scared that I was gonna be alone at some point.
The neighborhood all came and helped out, getting dinner out and bringing it over, and did it in a fashion that it wasn't uncomfortable, which is something as well, because no one likes to ask for stuff, or it was done. And I didn't have to worry about Jake getting fed when I could barely get up off the couch or out of bed. There were many days like that.
I just thank the Lord for the community that we had, because they helped us tremendously by bringing us meals and, you know, just little acts of kindness that, you know, and the prayers and just all that. Like, me and my pop probably couldn't have got through it without my community.
I would check on Dave fairly frequently, and I can't recall him really ever complaining. The only thing that he was really concerned about was if Jake was okay and if he was gonna be able to beat this.
I've had the privilege to be able to broadcast all the high school sports. It was fun to be able to call the games at a time when I knew Dad couldn't be there. You know, to give a shout out to Dave watching from home, knowing that he was going through chemo. It's an honor to be able to do that kind of a thing and to facilitate, you know, that relationship between Dave and his boy on the football field.
Jake didn't want to lose his dad. His best friend, the man that he loves. Dave didn't want to leave his son. And how do you figure out your future when you don't know what you're going to face? That's the difficult thing. What is my future gonna be like? Is it going to have my dad as part of my future? Or is he not going to be there?
So my dad comes up to me and he's like, listen, son, like, I love you. I had extra money to try and help you out for college, but at this point, it's just not gonna work out. I think you should start sending out football film. And I was reluctant at first. I didn't really think that that's a direction that I thought I could go even. You know, I didn't believe in my abilities as much as other people did at that point in time. And I promised my dad a couple days later, like, yeah, I'll start cutting up film, send it out, and we'll see what happens.
Saturday morning, he'd go through and he'd watch it and play his play, critique himself, and then he'd pick all the good ones and put together a clip to send. And he did it religiously, and that definitely helped get him seen out there.
Jake's a super special one to me because when I first was introduced to Jake Eichhorn, it was just over film. And watching his high school film, I don't know what it was that caught my eye, but immediately he became one of my very favorite players in that class.
He honestly was just so personable and cared about my story, cared about what I was doing all the time. and cared about my dad a lot, and that's something that meant a lot to me. Actually, while he was recruiting me, took down my dad's number and would call my dad like once every couple weeks to a month to check on him, see how he's doing.
Jake is a high school junior and senior having to take care of his dad who had cancer at the time. I mean, what a difficult situation that he was in, but it goes back to the maturity that comes out of those experiences. He was mature beyond his years, and it showed on the baseball field, it showed on the football field, and everyone we talked to down in Beaver just backed what an unbelievable person he was, first and foremost, and also what a player he was.
We've talked a lot about community and how that helped Jake, but this was out of the community, but it fit right in with what Jake experienced. And I think that's why he signed with Weber State, was that connection he had with Coach.
I would always say that there was always a man in my life telling me that, you know, you're gonna be something, I believe in you, I see this in you.
He's never one, he's never gonna pat himself on the back and say that I'm the greatest. That's just not who he is. You know, he's talked to his dad, or talked to us, or talked to Scott Langford, or his coaches, or whoever. In time, he sees that he belongs, that he has what it takes, and more.
It's been the reason for my success, not only part of the reason, like I think it is the reason that they help instill in myself.
Being Jake's dad is, it's been an adventure. It's been exciting. It's had its low times, but overall, it's the best thing that I've ever done. It's raising my kid and then seeing the man he's become. Aside from all the sports and everything, he's just a really good human being.
You know, one of the biggest reasons I play college football and I enjoy what I do is because it makes my family proud. And obviously my closest family is my pop. My pregame routine is walking up to my dad pregame and just giving him a hug, telling him I love him. To have him there, especially where 2 years ago we didn't know, you know, I thank God every day that I have with my pop.
It's his second year with you, and he's part of a really good offensive line room you've got going right now.
Yeah, amazing young man. And, you know, when we had a chance to bring him here, when he committed to us to transfer from Weber to us, I think I had all of Beaver, Utah hitting me up and just congratulating us on a wonderful young man. And he's been amazing just to have. Last year we played a game against Texas. We lost that game, and it was his baptism the next Sunday. And I think he was, you know, he was expressing, hey, we don't have to worry about this being me getting baptized, and don't need to bring any attention to it. But I watched him get ready for his baptism, and the entire team showed up to his baptism. It meant so much to him as he entered the waters of baptism. And we can't be our team that we are without him. He's a big part of our program and a big part of our culture.
All right, great to have Jake. And now to our in-studio guest. In Saturday's win over Arizona, he was the first player to take a handoff, and it was his first touch of the ball in more than a month. But after an injury at SMU that put him on the shelf for 3 games in 4 weeks, Hinkley Ropati was back on the football field. And tonight, he makes his BYU debut inside Studio C on the Sitake Show. Please welcome in BYU running back Hinkley Ropati. Hello, Hinkley.
Hey, what's up?
Good. Hey, yeah. You, right before the show began, your wife and a little visitor joined us here in Studio C. Who do we have with us?
So this is my wife, Taylin, and then our daughter, Lena, and then also my in-laws are here as well. We and Kimberly Nguyen.
When did Lena enter the world?
September 22nd, 24. So yeah, she's only 3 weeks old. So it's been super fun, you know.
You've been dealing with a lot lately.
To say the least, yeah, it's been fun. But my in-laws has been huge help in that, and so they've been able to living with them has been a huge help for us, especially during the season, you know. And so.
Well, that's awesome news, Hank. Coach, I always tend to ask you when you first became acquainted with our guest. When did you first hear the name and see Hinkley Ropati in action?
Well, I always knew about him, especially when he was in JC, and he was just terrorizing defenses with his running ability. But I think a lot of people don't understand he can catch the ball out of the backfield too. And And then when you meet him, his personality, he's got a great personality. The team loves him. I love him, you know, and it helps that he can run fast and run people over. And he's got a great, just such a great person to be around. It's awesome that he's a father now, because I think he sees life in a different way now, right? I mean,
definitely.
We talked about it. And,
yeah, we did.
And so I'm just really proud of him, the husband that he is and the father that he is. It's amazing to see him. I mean, I've watched him from the beginning to now, and he's done amazing things for us on and off the field, and I'm really proud to be his coach.
What's one piece of fatherhood advice you might remember from Kalani?
Oh, man, I think the biggest thing he told me, just enjoy it. Enjoy the moment, be in the moments, you know what I mean? Even if the baby's crying, he told me just to be there and just enjoy it. And so that's what I've been trying to do, whatever time I get to be with them, especially in the middle of the season. I just enjoy it and just be there. And so it's been great.
A lot of people refer to you as Hinkley, but just as many people call you Folau.
Yeah.
Why are you called by different names, and are both equally preferable to you?
Yeah, so Hinkley, Folau, or Pati is my full name. That's kind of how I distinguish whether, like, the person that's calling me Hinkley is like, oh, I probably know them from school or my professor or something. And then Folau is usually, like, my teammates or family. And so as I got here, I mean, everybody here I consider family. And so I, you know, got to the point where everybody just started calling me Folau. But it's up to them. I give everybody the freedom to just choose whatever they want. You know, if Hinkley's better or Folau, it doesn't matter to me.
You answer to both.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long and sometimes a bumpy road to get to your final season here at BYU. Tell us about where you grew up and then the stops in your football career and how it feels to finally be a senior now here at BYU.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so I grew up in Southern California. I grew up around the Compton and the Long Beach area. My family currently resides in Downey, California. And so, yeah, I mean, I grew up playing football my entire life, I think, since I was about 8 years old. 7 years old is when I started playing flag football for a couple years, and then moved on to tackle football. And then when I got to high school, I played football as well all throughout high school, and then other sports as well, like volleyball, wrestling, track and field. Those are all things that I enjoyed throughout my high school career. And then after high school, I decided to go serve the mission for the Church of Christ Latter-day Saints and served in the Philippines. I was there for 2 years and then came home. And like Coach mentioned, I went to junior college. I took the
Cerritos?
JC route. Yep,
yep,
Cerritos College. And then after a successful freshman year, you know, was able to start getting, you know, attention from other schools, and BYU was one of them. And it was been, you know, I still remember the first phone call I had with Coach Kalani. And I'm just so grateful for them and their staff for giving me the opportunity to come here and play here. And it's just amazing. I've been here for, you know, the last 4 years, and it's been nothing but a blessing since I've been here.
How blessed do you feel to have him as part of your program?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, the team's success all comes from the leadership of our seniors, and Folau or Hinkley is a big part of that. You know, he's been an integral part of what we do. I know that the boys can feel loved. You see the way the running back room is flowing right now. That's a huge part of this man's leadership. You know, he's humble. He works, and there's no secrets that he keeps. He shares what he knows with everybody, and there's a reason why six running backs have played and have played really well, and it has a lot to do with his leadership and what he does in that room. It's a tribute to him and how giving and loving he is of that position group.
Mentioned your wife, Taylan. She was a soccer player. You married a soccer player.
Yeah,
she played at UVU.
Yeah.
Do you love the sport?
Oh, soccer?
Yeah.
Yes, I enjoy watching soccer. I enjoy supporting her and seeing her play and things like that. And so,
did you enjoy soccer before you started dating Taylan?
I did. I actually used to watch Messi highlights before my games.
Okay.
I think he's the GOAT. So I used to watch his highlights. It used to get me pumped up before playing games. So,
That's awesome. How do you describe the running back room?
Oh, man, like Coach mentioned already, it's deep. You know what I mean? We got a deep room, but not just on the field, off the field. They're all just great, you know, young men. And so every single one of them, you know, they're not just great players, but they come in and day out just ready to you know, go out there and practice at their hardest. And you see it on the field. You know, when they get out there, they put their all in it and play for their brothers. And so our running back room is super special, and I'm just grateful to be a part of it.
And everybody's been needed this year.
Everybody, exactly. So, yeah.
You and LJ both got hurt, I think, in the same game, SMU game, right?
Yes, sir.
Then it was a long month for you guys, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
How was it like to be back with LJ on the field this past weekend?
It feels good, especially with that guy right there. Man, he's a special cat, you know what I mean? LJ coming in obviously, you know, the way he played last year as a freshman and be able to continue that momentum into this year, it's been great. It's been really good to be able to play side by side with him, learn from him as well, and as well as the other backs. And it's been really, yeah. I mean, it's been tough, you know, obviously dealing with the injuries and things like that.
You're feeling good?
I'm feeling great. You know. And so with the performance staff that we had on here, I mean, they did a great job of getting us back as soon as we can. So
before the break, what is the Soifua Foundation?
Yeah, so the Soifua Foundation is actually, they work with a lot of the Pacific schools and, you know, the Pacific Islands. And what they do is they provide supplies and school supplies and, you know, things of that sort for kids in the islands. And so I've been fortunate enough to work closely with them and help them with their fundraiser. And it's been something that I've loved being a part of. And so, yeah.
Were you aware of Hinckley's work with that, Kalani?
Hinckley's one of whenever you need someone to do any work, he's going to do it. And serving people is what he enjoys doing. He's been doing that his whole life, and that's why we love him so much and we appreciate him. But he's involved in so many different things and so many different things with the community and with church, and so I'm just really proud of him.
We are, indeed. I'm glad you're here, by the way. Coming up next, we're going to be handing out our first ever Hinckley Awards with Hinckley Ropati. He didn't know this. Oh, and BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues.
All right.
All right, Hollywood has the Oscars, TV has the Emmys, Broadway has the Tonys, and on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, tonight for the first time ever, we have the Hinckleys.
Oh,
wow.
What's this?
Oh, nice music, Hinckley.
Isn't it? Wow. Yes. All He's right. got his own music. This is going to be epic. We are going to hand out 10 Hinckleys tonight. Now, these are awards we are giving to your teammates as chosen by you. This will all make sense, I promise. Okay. All right, we are going to start with what we're calling the Jack of All Trades Award. The Jack of All Trades Award. This is to the most versatile player on the team. We're calling it the Jack of All Trades Award. We have a little graphic for it back there too. Look at that, the Hinckley's Jack of All Trades Award. And by the way, that's not the Mangler's necessarily his torso, but it's a number 93. Okay, the Jack of All Trades. It doesn't have to be a D lineman. Jack of All Trades.
Yeah. I think that one's pretty easy. I think that's Parker Kingston.
Right. Parker Kingston.
He does it all. I mean, we've seen in the last six games, right? He's thrown a touchdown, caught a touchdown, punt return for a touchdown. You know what I mean? He's done it all. So, yeah.
Good answer. Parker Kingston was the Jack of All Trades Award. All right, the next one is called the Overly Frugal Award. This is a teammate that is going to be pinching pennies, finding bargains, making sure you're not spending too much wherever you go. The Overly Frugal Award. Who's the guy that you think is pretty frugal on the team, pretty sensible with the money?
I think I'd have to go with Talon Alfrey. Talon Alfrey is pretty good with his money. And so he actually has multiple side gigs, business going on right now.
Okay, all right. You know, so overly frugal.
He has like this 360 camera business that he does, by the way. So if you guys need a 360 camera for an event, shout out to Talon Alfrey.
He's your guy.
There you go. Got you, bro. So yeah, Talon Alfrey for sure.
All right, so Talon with the Overly Frugal Award. All right, this next one would be the Neat Freak Award. Who on the team is the neatest of all? His locker room, he's just a sharp, neat guy, the Neat Freak Award.
This is tied between two people. Is that okay, or do I have to give it to one person?
We're okay if you want to share the award. That's all right.
It's between Jake Retzlaff and Mason Fakahua. Those guys have probably the cleanest locker room. Everything is folded up, organized, and I don't think I've ever seen their locker. And if you like move anything out of their locker, I've done it to Jake. I've used his lotion sometimes, and he would be like, "Bro, why did you put it back to where it was?" And so, yeah, it's for sure Jake Retzlaff and Mason Fakahua. So yeah,
very good. Kalani, how often are you down in that locker room?
I try to stay out of there.
good choice. That's good coach.
All right, number four. We're calling this the TikTok Superstar Award. Who's the social media guy that's always involved, doing something, showing something, making something?
Oh man, there's a couple of them. But I mean, who you see doing, you can even go to his page, but Pokai Honga loves to do TikTok wherever we're at. No matter what game it is, he always has his phone set up and he's getting other players involved in making TikToks. Him and I'll have to give it to probably just Pokai.
Pokai, yeah. Freshman Pokai Honga, the yeah. TikTok superstar. next, we're calling this one the Social Butterfly Award. The guy that's always out there talking to people, taking pictures. He's just out there. Yeah.
Social Butterfly. Oh, yeah. Look at that graphic.
Yeah.
Jeez. Social Butterfly. Let's see. Who is Social Butterfly on our team? I feel like everybody goes out there and talks to everyone. But
if you want to weigh in on any of these, you know,
this
feel free.
This is the Hinkley Award.
All right. If I have to choose one, I'd probably go with Social Butterfly. Goodness, it's hard to pinpoint one person. I can't even. Let's go with Jake Retzloff. He's actually one of those people who's always out there talking to everybody. So.
Very affable gentleman. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay, Jake sure. Retzloff will be the Social Butterfly.
We'll give him. Yep.
This next one, we're calling the Team Parent Award. Who is the guy that, like, if you're on the Provo River trip, he makes sure everyone's got their life jackets on, he makes sure that everyone's hydrated. Who is the team parent on this team?
The team parent, well, he's also a dad, too. And there's multiple, so I think it's has to be. Everyone can do whatever they want when they're around me, but I think it has to be between Big Tree and Matthias Dunn. Matthias Dunn also has a daughter, Ruby, and she's the cutest thing too. And so, but he also does this thing. I feel like he's more of a, yeah, definitely like a father.
So who's splitting this then?
I would say Matthias Dunn and Tree, Caleb Etienne.
Caleb Etienne, okay, yeah. Big Tree. All right.
Yeah, Big Tree.
All right, guys,
big dad right
Will
there.
And Caleb, okay, the team parents. This is a shout out for the kids out there. This is the Best Aux Award, AUX, Aux, the plug-in for the playlist. Who's got who's the most musically inclined wins the Best Aux Award out there?
I think this one's pretty easy. I think it's Keelan Marion. Yeah, Big Key. Every time he's on the Aux, he knows how to get the locker room turned and ready for practices. Usually every time there's some song that's everybody's getting hyped too. Usually it's Keelan that put that on. So I have to give this to Big Key. Yeah.
Keelan Marion wins a Hinkley for Best Aux. Last couple three. Head and Shoulders Award. This is for the best hair
best
on the team.
Hair.
And I think it's kind of a shame you're hiding yours tonight. but Best Hair, the Head and Shoulders Award.
You know who has really good hair? Anthony Olsen.
Anthony Olsen.
Anthony Olsen.
Tight end Anthony
Olsen. Tight end
Olsen.
Anthony Olsen has some really good hair. And also DB Cabea. Cabea got some good locks.
Jonathan Cabea. So we have an offensive player and a defensive player splitting the Head and Shoulders Award. Okay,
there you go.
Nice work there. Do you want to show yours off at all tonight?
I don't think you guys need to see it. It's all.
He's got a baby, guys. Give him a break. He hasn't been working on his hair yet.
Our ninth Hinkley Award is the Class President Award. The guy that would just kind of be the leader of the group, the most responsible maybe out there, the Class President Award.
They got to go to my guy, Connor Pay.
Connor Pay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Okay,
Class President. Okay.
And our final award, we hit the other side of the spectrum, the Class Clown Award goes to...
Class Clown? Hands down, has to be Cody Epps. Cody Epps
for sure.
Class clown. Yeah, most definitely.
All right, Cody Epps. With all the love in the world. All right. Good job with the Hinkleys. It's sad you're a senior because now he can't do the Hinkleys again next year. It's kind of a bummer. But that's Hinkley Rapati in this year's Hinkleys, everybody.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics, Smarty, Address Data Wizards, and Ken Garf. We hear you.
Welcome back to BYU Football. Kalani Sitake. head to our studio audience here in Studio C for our weekly Q&A segment. It's brought to you, as always, by Ken Garf. Ken Garf, we hear you. We have our first questioner at the mic. Sir, your name?
I'm Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Do you think your faith affects your gameplay at all?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's a huge part of my gameplay. I mean, even throughout the week, my preparation, I feel like I need to be constantly connected with, you know, Heavenly Father and with things that I need to do, things I need to, you know, execute for that day in my preparation. And then even before the game, especially before the game, I feel like there's not a single game that I can't play without first conversing with Him. And so, yeah, for sure. Great question.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate that. Next.
Hi, I'm LaDawn. I just wondered how the players have responded to the Pathways group that you'd had before the season started. How they've responded to having people around the world supporting you?
Oh, it's been super, like, it's been a great experience. I think it wasn't too long ago we were able to actually be on a Skype call with all of them. And I think that was such a great experience, just to be able to see those people and hear their experiences and hear their stories and how they're getting through the adversities that they deal with. It's just, they're all inspiration to us. And the fact that we're able to, you know, be connected with these people and be able to, you know, in a way, be inspiration to them. They don't know that they're more of inspiration to us, and you know, and so it's been truly a blessing.
Kalani, anything you can add to the Pathway organization and involvement with BYU football?
Yeah, just love the players being involved, as many as our fans as we can. And like Hinkley said, we actually get more out of it than they do. We feel it was just a great reminder for us and what we represent. It's just way more than just the game of football.
Awesome. Question three.
My name is Cindy Hackett. What are you most concerned about with playing Oklahoma State this week?
What am I most concerned about? Honestly, I'm not really having any concerns. I'm really just excited to get out there and play again with the boys. We're not really concerned about anything. We're just excited for another opportunity to play together. And so I think that's what we're looking forward to. But, yeah, I know I didn't answer your question, but, yeah.
It's a great program, Kalani. Great history. Yeah. Coach Gundy's been there now 20 seasons. Whether it's New Year's Six games or Big 12 championships, that's a program with a really good pedigree.
As long as our guys stay humble and hungry, which they've been doing every week so far, and this week I haven't seen any change in their demeanor. Our players, we had fun with the win, but then they're able to put it away and get moving to the next one. And great leaders like Folau is able to get that done for us.
Okay, final question.
This is for Kalani. Kalani, what does your role, what does the role of your faith in Jesus Christ play in your position as a head coach? And how does that show up on the field in practice and during game day?
Well, just like anything in life, we can turn to the Savior for an example. And look at his words to help. He's the best leader that we've ever had on this earth. And not only that, he's the toughest guy that ever walked the earth. So I think it's important that I can turn to him and also turn through prayer and my faith and just know what can I do to help these young men. And the best thing I can do to help them is encourage them to follow in his example.
Awesome. Thanks for your question. Thank you all for your questions. We appreciate it. As we take another break, let's get to this week's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. Oklahoma State is one of four teams that BYU's faced in multiple bowl games. Yes, BYU faced Oklahoma State in two bowl games back in the day. So who are the other three teams that BYU's faced in multiple bowl games? The answer is coming up next. Stay with us. BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. BYU Athletics, there you see the question. Oklahoma State, BYU faced in bowl games back in the day in the 70s, but there are three other teams BYU's faced in multiple bowl games, and they are Ohio State, UCLA, and SMU. Those are the teams BYU's seen in multiple bowl games. There you go. All right, let's take a look at Friday night's broadcast schedule. BYU hosting Oklahoma State at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. On BYU TV and on BYU Radio, we are on the air at 6 o'clock Mountain Time for the 8:15 kick. You can watch it on ESPN and listen to Hans, Mitch, and me on BYU Radio, and then stay with both TV and radio for post-game coverage following the conclusion of the contest. As for the uniform, it's almost the same uniform as last week. The difference here, and maybe Folau, you can confirm, the face mask last week, I think, was chrome blue, and this year's white, this week's white?
Exactly.
Okay, so same white helmets, royal jerseys, white pants, but a different face mask. for this week against Oklahoma State. All right, we've got literally 30 seconds left. Hinkley, coach, it's a Friday night. It's an 8:15, 8:20 kick at Lavelle Stadium. Place will be sold out, rocking. How stoked are both of you guys for this?
Oh, I'm excited. You know how the Rock gets, you know, especially our night games. And so we're just looking forward for that opportunity to play again in front of the Rock, in front of our family and friends, and represent them well. So, yeah.
I'm ready to see Folau and his teammates roll. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to, I mean, we have a lot of fun when we get out there, so it's going to be awesome.
All right, for Kalani and for Hinkley, I'm Greg. Thanks to everyone and the crew. Have a great week. Go Cougs.
Thank you.